meeting after, or Christian teams would meet with myself, Dawn, and hopefully Roger and Rosie. That's still happening. So if you could come up to the pre-teen classroom at about 12:30, hopefully after you've sold lots of cakes and eaten even more, then you can come and join us about 12:30, okay? Brilliant. Now let's get into this morning's sermon, or message, or whatever we're going to call it. And songs. We all like songs. And over the years, what tends to happen is that people... Don't worry, I'm not going to sing. If I sing, it'll all go home very quickly. Over the years, you know, people sing songs and then other people do the same song again. Now, this is probably going to be the old timers here, like myself. Do you know the Bee Gees?
Yes.
Oh, the youngsters know the Bee Gees as well. Do you know what the Bee Gees stands for? I'm talking to the youngsters. That's fine. You're right. The brothers Gibb, because there were three of them. I think it was three, was it? Okay.
One died.
One died, yes. Now, they sang a song, or wrote a song and sang a song, called How Deep Is Your Love. Remember that? Now, that was released in, can you believe this, 1977. A few of us are nodding. We remember those days. Yes. I'd like to say I was a baby in 1977, but if I said that, I'd be lying. Now, I dare say our youngsters probably, our teenagers probably remember that song more from a later version that was done by, covered by, Take That. Ah, the teenagers didn't know. Right. And did you know that the original and the best, the Bee Gees version, only got to number what in the UK charts? Number 3. The Take That version, number 1. Interestingly, the Bee Gees version went to number 1 in the US charts, but surprisingly, for some very unusual reason, the Take That version wasn't released in the US. I wonder why. Anyway, what I want to talk to you about this morning is... How deep is your love? Now, I'm not going to sing. We haven't got any lyrics from the song. But we're going to look at some scriptures to try and see how deep is your love. And if you've got a Bible, hopefully you will do. Turn to the book of Luke. And we'll start in Luke chapter 10. Because, you know, Christianity, we can often make Christianity a lot more complicated than it needs to be. If you're a bit like me, if you were like me, you like technical and complicated things. I like computers, and I haven't bought a computer since 1993. So I haven't bought a computer in what? How many years is that? 17 years, I haven't bought a computer. Does that mean I've got this huge car sitting on my desk at home, the size of a car? Is that the computer you think I've got sitting at my home? If you've been to my home, you'll probably say no. I've got a nice, sleek, black and silver looking computer sitting at home. Where did it come from? Did it appear out of nowhere? No, I put it together with my own fair hands. And every computer I've had since 1993 was made by these hands you see in front of you. Because I like that sort of thing. Do you know what? I really like it when my computer goes wrong. When something goes wrong with it and it doesn't work. Because it says to me, there is a logical reason why this isn't working. And it's a challenge to find out. So I love the challenge, the hunt. And then the kill when I find out what's wrong and I get it working again. And then the great satisfaction of feeling someone else would have gone to PC World and paid a fortune for that. I've done it with my own hands. Probably pulled out my hair, been sitting up till 4 a.m. in the morning, but it was worth it. But I like technical and complicated things. Perhaps that's why I became a lawyer. I don't know. But Christianity, we can often make out that it's very complex, very complicated, huge Bible, so many books, don't really understand all of this. But I actually think Christianity is really, really simple. And in the book of Luke, in chapter 10, in verse 25, it says this. On one occasion, an expert in the law stood up to test Jesus. Teacher, he asked, what must I do to inherit eternal life? What's written in the law, he replied. How do you read it? He answered, love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your strength, and with all your mind. And love your neighbor as yourself. You've answered correctly, Jesus replied. Do this and you will live. But he wanted to justify himself, so he asked Jesus, and who is my neighbor? You know, Jesus gives a really simple answer. You want to inherit eternal life. You want to go to heaven. Really simple. Love God with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength. Love him first and foremost. And love other people. Pretty simple stuff, isn't it? You know, Christianity is not that hard. It was designed for people who didn't assemble computers. Shepherds, fishermen, ordinary people. Now, if you're a shepherd or a fisherman this morning, I'm not disparaging your profession or your mental abilities, but I'm just trying to say that it's a really simple message for all of us. But we can often like and want more complicated things. So I remember a good friend of mine once had a computer that broke down, and he was telling me about it, and how another chap he knows told him that he had all sorts of things wrong with his computer, it was going to cost him hundreds of pounds to fix it, it was terribly complicated. And I said, well, let me have a look at it. Oh, you can't handle that. This is really tough stuff. Turn the computer on. And when you turn the computer on, if it doesn't work, it often makes little bleeping sounds. And the bleeping sounds are a code. Your computer circuit board gives you a code to tell you what's wrong. So I listened to the number of bleeps and thought, okay, I know what that is. Went home, looked into a box, found a little... it was a graphics card problem he had. I had a spare graphics card, popped around to his house, 5 minutes, in and out, computer working. Not complicated at all. But we like, sometimes, complicated things. Do you know, Christianity is really, really simple. And if we turn to the book of John chapter 21, we know that we need to love God. I think that's taken for granted. We know that we need to love other people. But I'm going to talk this morning, as I said, about how deep is your love. Interesting thing here is this man... he tried to justify himself by saying, who is my neighbour? Now, I read that and I thought, why didn't he say, what does it mean to love God? He kind of takes it for granted that we know what it is and what it means to love God. And he kind of thought, well, what does it really mean? Not to love my neighbour, but who is my neighbour? But let's go to John 21, because I think we read a little story here in John chapter 21. That I think helps us see some signs or characteristics or things that you can look at and say, this will help you measure how deep your love is. Now, my wife and I, we live in sunny Ashted in Surrey, and we lived there for almost 4 years, about 3.5 years. And when we moved in, I said to her, we are not going to drill any holes in the walls. So when we put up pictures, we don't put any holes in the walls. No nails, no screws, none of this stuff. Because I thought, I don't want to have holes. And generally, when I put a hole in a wall, I'm not as good with DIY as I am with computers. When I put a little screw in the wall, it tends not to stay in it. It brings down half the plaster in the wall. So I tend not to do that. So what we do is we buy these little sticky things, these sort of picture-hanging adhesive things, and we stick up all our pictures with these things. But it's a nightmare to do. Yeah, Dawn's laughing. Every time she asks me to put up a picture, I find something else to do. Yes, I need to go and paint the roof. That's easier. Paint a roof? Who would do that? I need to go on a hike to the North Pole. That's easier. Because it's really complicated. And the worst thing I hate about this, at the end of it, is once the picture is up, it's never straight. And I bought a spirit level just to prove that I'm right, and it is straight. And generally isn't. But with my spirit level, I sort of put it there, and I can measure accurately whether or not this picture is straight. And sometimes the opinions of the others in my household are that it's not straight, and I point to the spirit level. I think it's straight, and so does the spirit level. The spirit level does not lie. And I think we can look at a few things that you can measure your life with this morning and say, how deep is my love? John chapter 21, and we will start reading in verse 2. Let me see if I can find verse 2. Actually, we'll start in verse 1. Afterward, Jesus appeared again to his disciples by the Sea of Tiberias. It happened this way. Simon Peter, Thomas called Didymus, Nathanael from Cana in Galilee, the sons of Zebedee, and two other disciples were together. I'm going out to fish, Simon Peter told them. And they said, we'll go with you. Really interesting that, you know, all their lives, last 3 years, they've been with Jesus. They've been teaching, they've been preaching, they've been watching him heal the sick. He dies. He comes back from the dead. He appears to them, but they've gone back to their old ways of life. They're just still hanging around. And then one afternoon, Peter says, well, what am I going to do? Well, I don't know. Well, let's go fishing. Oh, yeah, let's all go fishing together. We'll come with you. So they all trot out and into their boat, and they go and hopefully catch some fish. Verse 3, I'm going out to fish, Simon Peter told them. So they said, we'll go with you. So they went out, got into the boat, but that night they caught nothing. Now, if you've read Luke chapter 5, you'll kind of see that things haven't changed very much since Jesus first met them in Luke 5. Either that, or they're so out of touch with fishing over the last fishing techniques and new fishing technologies and developments over the last 3 years that they're a bit hopeless at the moment. But they catch nothing. Verse 4. Early in the morning, Jesus stood on the shore, but the disciples didn't realize that it was Jesus. He called out to them, friends, haven't you any fish? No, they answered. He said, throw your net on the right side of the boat and you will find some. When they did, they were unable to haul the net in because of the large number of fish. Then the disciple whom Jesus loved said to Peter, it's the Lord! As soon as Peter heard him say, it is the Lord, he wrapped his outer garment around him, for he'd taken it off and jumped into the water. Now, I don't know whether or not they did think back to Luke chapter 5, when they were out fishing as well, and they didn't catch anything at all, and Jesus said, put your net down over there, and they did, and they caught the fish. I don't know if that was the moment that it clicked. Hang about, this is Jesus. Well, that seems to be the case for John, that described him as the disciple whom Jesus loved. He figured out, it's the Lord. Now I'm looking anxiously for Alex Halston. Ah, yes, great. Should we get ready to go? You know, here, they recognize Jesus. You know, if you skip across to, or skip back to John chapter 10. John chapter 10, in verse 14, we'll take it up from there. Jesus says, I am the good shepherd. I know my sheep, and my sheep know me. Just as the Father knows me, and I know the Father, and I lay down my life for the sheep. I have one sheep, and they're not of this sheep. I have other sheep that are not of the sheep pen. I must bring them also. They too will listen to my voice, and there shall be one flock and one shepherd. So here he says that, you know, his sheep know him. His sheep hear his voice. They recognize who he is. Now I've got a little game for us to play this morning, and this is going to be the teens against the rest of the church. Right? Because I have great confidence in our teen ministry. That they are young, bright, and super intelligent. Now, I've got some voices, six voices, to play to you. And one person from the teens needs to put a hand up. And then one person from the rest of the church, whoever it is, needs to put a hand up. And try and guess who the voice is. Will you recognize the voice? Can we have voice number one, please, Mr. Halston?
Well, I'm Jewish and I couldn't care less. At the end of the day, you're saying to me,
needs to be a bit louder,
I'm in here, because there's nothing personal about this. It's all to do with, you don't think they perform
okay,
well
stop,
on this
stop,
time.
Stop.
That's okay. Is that what you're saying to me?
I think we had Shiva and we had Chade. So you can't change your answers. So Shiva. Alan Sugar. Chade. Alan Sugar, well done. Okay, so that's 1 point each. Let's listen to voice number two.
As this year draws to a close, I would like to reflect more directly and more personally on what lies behind all the celebrations of these past 12 months.
Okay, we've got Michael Coleman and we've got Douglas. So Michael, Her Majesty the Queen, Douglas. The Queen, okay. 2 points each, number three.
If you ever get trial by television or guilt by accusation, that day, freedom dies.
Okay, we don't have a teen for this voice. Okay, I don't know your name. Margaret Thatcher, and no answer for the teens. Oh dear! Sorry? I didn't see your hand up. It was up. Okay, Okay, I apologise. So that's oh, we had a teen over there as well. Okay. I bow to your accuracy and my inaccuracy. 3-3 then. Number 4.
I don't really. I think what matters is, are you any good at the job? I think you should judge people by what ideas they've got, what passion they've got, can they put the right team together?
That's it. We've got Jeremiah Brown and we've got Tony Longo. Who? Cameroon? Oh, the Prime Minister! David Cameron! I think they're both right. So that's 4-4. Number 5.
I was indifferent, not so much by the part. I mean, obviously it is, as I said, very challenging, but it's also just the thing of going on stage and doing it and being able to, you know, when you're filming, you sort of get out there and you do however many
times. I will take some different people. We will have Celeste and Louise. Celeste? Daniel Radcliffe, Louise? Oh my goodness, you're already good at this! Okay, is this the last one now? Number 6.
Scotty, beam me up.
Sorry, what's everybody sighing for? A hand we have not taken before, and a hand over there. Sorry, who? No shouting out. Captain Kirk. Who's Captain Kirk? Never heard of him. Sorry? I want the person who spoke. Captain Kirk and William Shatner, I think the teens get a bonus point. You get a point, so the teens win 7-6. I was right. I had every confidence in you. I knew you could take on the whole church and win. Even if I was doing the judging and awarding the bonus points. I'm wonderfully impartial there. Anyway, but you know, you listen to voices and you recognise them, don't you? You see photographs and you recognise places. You talk to people, you remember things. Well, what about Jesus? Would you recognise Jesus? You know, if you heard him speak, if you saw him teach, if you were one of the disciples here, what is it about him that would make you think, yeah, I recognise this chap? Let's read on. Back to John chapter 21. Because I think that if you've got that deep love for God, and if you've got that deep love for Jesus, you'll recognise the things he says in the scriptures as being what you need to do in your life. You know, you'll recognise areas you need to change. In fact, you know, recognition can be a really interesting thing. Did you know that we have, in our midst this morning, an up-and-coming star? Did you know that? Well, I'm going to introduce him to you this morning. And he is actually a very, very, very special young man who is currently the British and the European under-23 champion at 100 metres. So, he's not just the fastest person in this category in Britain, but he's also the fastest person in this category, 100 metres, in the whole of Europe. Now, I know you probably think it's me. My youthful appearance. I know that I could quite easily fit in the under-23 category, but I've got a bit of a bad knee. That's the only thing that stops me. So, I'd give you a run for your money, but for my knee. But I'd like to introduce, if you don't already know, James Alaka. James, would you like to stand? So, get your autographs quickly. Absolutely. And you can say, you saw him here first. Right, here are some things I think we can look at, some signs that will help us understand how deep our love for God is. John chapter 21, verse 7. I think the very first thing is you see this great sense of excitement when Peter realizes this is the Lord. He wraps his outer garment around him, he jumps in the water, he takes a big swim, he just says, I've got to get to my Lord. Is that how you feel on a Sunday morning? I just need to get up and come to church. I just really want to be with my brothers and my sisters. Is that how you feel about your prayer times, your Bible study times, all the things we do as Christians? Is it a great sense of this is the most exciting life? Or is it, I'll deny myself, I'll take up my cross this morning, and I'll go. I'll suffer, but it'll be worth it one day. Now, with some things, it will have to be that way. Because there are always going to be things in our lives that we need to change. And then we may not want to change them, so we've got to work hard. I think if you've got that attitude of saying, I'm going to deny myself, that says you've got a deep love for God. Because rather than doing what you want to do, you're going to say, I'll do what God wants me to do. That says you've got a deep love. Also, if you're really excited already, that says you've got a deep love. In verse 8, it says, the other disciples followed in the boat, towing the net full of fish, for they were not far from the shore, about 100 yards. When they landed, they saw a fire of burning coals there with fish on it and some bread. Now, you know, for me, I think that if I was with one of the 12, I would have really struggled, because you probably know I can't stand fish. So if there was burning coals with fish cooking on it, I would have been swimming in the other direction, trying to get away from the smell. Sausages would pull me in. Wouldn't have gone well for the Jews, because they tend to be pork, and that doesn't kind of work very well. But, you know, if I saw this image of sausages, I'd like that one. But they head to the shore, Jesus is there waiting for them, he's got a barbecue burning, and they think it's time for food. You know, great thing about food is it can often sort of pick you up, can't it? This probably brothers more than sisters, I'd imagine, get more fired up about barbecues and food. But, you know, what does cheer you up? Do you know, this week I was feeling, actually was it this week or was it last week? I can't remember now. I was feeling pretty discouraged. And I kind of thought, what does discouraged actually mean? You know, you think courage is about being courageous and adventurous. So if you're discouraged, I thought, well, I'm not being very courageous. I'm not being very adventurous here, am I? And I thought, what do I need to do? What do I need to do to try and change the way I feel? Now, you're probably all surprised. Mark, discouraged. Actually, your daughter's probably not surprised. But anyway, from time to time, I get a bit emotional. And I get, you know, feel a bit down from time to time. And I thought to myself, what do I do? So you know what I did? I picked up my Bible. And I thought, it's time to read some scriptures. And let me just show you some of this, or read to you some of the scriptures I read. If I can just get to them. Technology. Save. Good. Here we go. In the book of... Oops, that's the wrong one. Right, in the book of Psalms, chapter 4, it says this. Know that the Lord has set apart the godly for himself. The Lord will hear when I call to him. In your anger, do not sin. When you're on your bed, search your heart and be silent. Offer sacrifices and trust in the Lord. Many are asking, who can show us any good? Let the light of your face shine upon us, O Lord. You have filled my heart with greater joy than when their new grain and new wine abound. I will lie down and sleep in peace, for you alone, O Lord, make me dwell in safety. In Psalm 37 it says, trust in the Lord and do good. Dwell in the land and enjoy safe pasture. Delight yourself in the Lord, and he will give you the desires of your heart. Commit your way to the Lord. Trust in him, and he will do this. He'll make your righteousness shine like the dawn, the justice of your cause like the noonday sun. Be still before the Lord and wait patiently for him. Do not fret when men succeed in their ways, when they carry out their wicked schemes. Refrain from anger and turn from wrath. Do not fret. It leads only to evil. I'll read one more. Psalm 49. Do not be overawed when a man grows rich, when the splendor of his house increases, for he will take nothing with him when he dies. His splendor will not descend with him, though while he lived he counted himself blessed. And men praise you when you prosper. He will join the generation of his fathers who will never see the light of day. A man who has riches without understanding is like the beast that perishes. Actually, probably read one more, it's a bit more encouraging. Finally, it says this. Psalm 62, verse 5. Find rest, O my soul, in God alone. My hope comes from him. He alone is my rock and my salvation. He is my fortress. I will not be shaken. My salvation and my honor depend on God. He is my mighty rock, my refuge. Trust in Him at all times, O people. Pour out your hearts to Him, for our God is our refuge. Do you know, I read those verses, and it just lifted my heart. Because I thought to myself, I don't need to be discouraged. I don't need to worry about anything at all, because God is in control. And the truth is, you know, another good sign about how deep your love is how are you when things get challenging? Where do you turn? Do you turn to the Scriptures when things get challenging? Do you go out and pray when things get difficult? Are you having consistently great prayer times and great Bible study times? Or is it more a case of when it's convenient? When I've got a few minutes spare, I'll lie down on my bed, I'll stare at the ceiling, and then you wake up at 6 o'clock or 7 o'clock or whatever time it is, and you've not really had a great prayer time. You know, maybe if you're not feeling really excited about Christianity this morning, and maybe if you're not feeling really, maybe if you're feeling a bit like I felt last week, a bit discouraged, maybe it's because your prayer times and your Bible study times are not where they need to be. And I think another sign of how deep your love is how deep, how meaningful, and also how regular your prayer times and your Bible study times are. You need to have great prayer times and great Bible study times. You know, it reads on in verse 10. Jesus said to them, "Bring some of the fish that you've just caught." Simon Peter climbed aboard and dragged the net ashore. It was full of large fish, 153. But even with so many, the net was not torn. Jesus said to them, "Come and have breakfast." None of the disciples dared ask him, "Who are you?" They knew it was the Lord. Jesus took the bread and gave it to them, and did the same with the fish. This was now the third time Jesus appeared to his disciples after he was raised from the dead. Do you know, I think there are lots of signs. I mean, I can't give you a definitive list of everything to look at to work out whether or not you've got a really deep love for God. But you know, I think a couple of the things are a couple of the things that I've just shared about your joy, your excitement, and also your willingness to deny yourself, even when it's not really what you want to do, but you do it because you love God. And about having those consistently great prayer times, those consistently great Bible study times, and when things get challenging for you, turning to God and not turning to, you know, what I used to do, turning to a bowl of ice cream. I know that you tend to think this is, or men tend to think this is more a female trait and characteristic, but there are times when I might not feel terribly excited, you know, and a tub of strawberry ice cream looks pretty good at that point. But it's got to be our hearts turning to God and looking at our hearts and lives and saying, my love needs to really deepen, needs to really grow, so that I can truly love God with all my heart, soul, mind, and strength. Now, let's move on very quickly to the second point, which is all about loving your neighbour. And as I said, you know, the chap at the beginning who was talking to Jesus, he kind of skipped over loving God, because I think loving God is a pretty straightforward one to understand. Although, you know, loving God really does mean we have to obey His commands. Jesus says in Luke 6, "Why do you call me Lord, but don't do what I say?" So, we need to do that. But here, let's talk about loving other people for a moment. And in verse 15, when they finished eating, Jesus said to Simon Peter, "Simon, son of John, do you truly love me more than these?" "Yes, Lord," he said, "you know that I love you." Jesus said, "Feed my lambs." Again, Jesus said, "Simon, son of John, do you truly love me?" He answered, "Yes, Lord, you know that I love you." Jesus said, "Take care of my sheep." So Jesus says, "Do you really love me?" Or could I paraphrase it and say that Jesus was saying to Peter, "How deep is your love?" And he says, "I do love you, Lord, I do love you." And Jesus says, "Take care of my sheep, feed my sheep." Now, you know, we've got a really hard-working bunch of people here this morning who I think really, you look at their lives, you look at this sign in their life, and it tells you, I think, that they've got a deep love for other people. And that's our family group leaders. Now, if you lead a family group, I would like you to stand. All our founding group leaders, could you please stand? Up you go. And you, Mr. Stevens. And where's Mr. Stevens? Oh, no, no, stay up, stay up, stay up. Any more founding group leaders around? Stay, keep standing, keep standing. Now, family group leaders, up again. Now, there are lots more, probably some of them are in KK, but the truth is we've got a dedicated bunch of brothers and sisters who, because their love for God is deep, because their love for God is real, they love the fellowship. They love the disciples in the fellowship. And they've dedicated themselves to looking after the fellowship. You know, without any pay, any recompense in financial terms, they sacrifice their time, their energy, their effort. Keep standing. See, they're a humble bunch as well. They want to sit down. They sacrifice their time, their energy, their effort to serve the fellowship. Do you know, it says in the book of Hebrews, Hebrews chapter 10. You can sit down in a minute. In a minute. In Hebrews chapter... Oh, sorry, no, chapter 13. I do apologize. In Hebrews chapter 13, verse 7, it says, "Remember your leaders who spoke the word of God to you. Consider the outcome of their way of life and imitate their faith." Do you know, if you want to make sure that you've got a really deep love for other people, I think the people who are standing up right now are people that you can look at and imitate. Because they're people who have a deep love for others in the fellowship. So much so that they give their time, their efforts and their energy to love and serve you all. So let's thank our family group leaders. And now the family group leaders are feeling under real pressure. But I'm convinced, you know, you've been serving for many, many years. And, you know, if you're saying in the fellowship, I would like to do that. I'd like to really give more. I would like to help. I would like to do something. Then, you know, come and talk to one of us. There is every opportunity for everybody to serve in the church in some way, shape or form. Because we're a family. Anyway, verse 17. The third time, Jesus said to him, "Simon, son of John, do you love me?" Peter was hurt. Because Jesus asked him the third time, "Do you love me?" He said, "Lord, you know all things. You know that I love you." Jesus said, "Feed my sheep. I tell you the truth, when you were younger, you dressed yourself and went where you wanted. But when you are old, you will stretch out your hands, and someone else will dress you and lead you where you do not want to go." You know, Jesus said three times, "Do you love me?" And on the third occasion, Peter was hurt. Do you know, I think if you've got a deep love for other people, you'll be prepared to have conversations with other people that might hurt them, but that will help them grow and change. And I'm talking about discipling. I'm talking about you as an individual having someone else involved in your life, or two or three or four, however many people you want, and other people being involved in your life. So that when there are things like this, words that Jesus had to say to Peter, Peter had to hear that there'll be somebody close to you who will love you enough to say those words to you. The truth is, if you've got a deep love for other people, you won't look at other people and let them run off and end up doing things that will harm them spiritually or physically. You know, parents of their kids. When your kids want to do something that seems pretty suspect and dangerous, you don't just say, "Oh yeah, okay, that's kind of nice. I'll let him get on and, you know, see how it works out." You know, I thank that, you know, didn't appreciate it at the time, but, you know, my mum stopped me once from doing something pretty silly, and that was shoving a firework in a fire inside my house. I just thought it'd be a pretty nice thing to do. Put this firework in the fire, it'll go off. I was about, I don't know, 6, 7. Can't remember how old I was. Actually, maybe I was younger. I don't know. But she stopped me from doing it, gave me a bit of a smack. I thought, I was only after a bit of fun. What'd you do this to me for? I had no idea. But you know, you need someone in your life who will say those things that might hurt you for a while, but will actually help you. And then you also need to be for other people. that person who will say those things to them and call them back where God wants them to be. So I think, you know, a couple of signs were looked at. I think our family group leaders are a great sign of people who love others, and I think a great example to follow. I think if you really love other people, you'll have other people involved in your life. You'll be involved in other people's lives. And I think there's one more thing, and we'll skip back to the book of Mark. In Mark chapter 6, in the beginning of chapter 6, Jesus sends out the 12. And he sends them out to go and share their faith, to go and teach and preach. And in verse 30 it says, the apostles gathered around Jesus. So they come back after sharing their faith. The apostles gathered around Jesus and reported to him all they had done and taught. Then because so many people were coming and going that they didn't even have a chance to eat, he said, come with me by yourselves to a quiet place and get some rest. So they went away by themselves in a boat to a solitary place. But many who saw them leaving recognized them and ran on foot from all towns and got there ahead of them. When Jesus landed and saw a large crowd, he had compassion on them because they were like sheep without a shepherd. So he began teaching them many things. You know, here, the disciples come back, they're pretty tired. Jesus has just heard that John the Baptist has been beheaded. He's pretty emotional. And yet he sees people who need God, who don't know about God, and he has great compassion on them because they're like sheep, sheep that need to be fed, sheep that need to be led, sheep without a shepherd. And you know, if you really love people, it's not just about loving people in the church, having great discipling relationships, setting a great example, but it's also about loving people who are not yet in the church, who still need to hear the message of life that we have all heard. And particularly after we've all been studying the book of Acts, I hope that we are all sharing our faith a whole lot more than we were before we started the book of Acts. And if you're not yet doing it, now's the time to start. Because I think a really great sign of how deep your love for other people is how much, how eager, how committed are you to sharing your faith. It might just be one person that you meet each day. It might be one person every couple of days. But you shouldn't be going for more than a few days. You certainly shouldn't be going for a week without at least finding a single opportunity, a friend, a work colleague, a chap. I tend to share my faith, you know, I find sharing my faith on a crowded train pretty difficult to do. So I've got two things I can do. I can deny myself and do it, which I do sometimes. Or I can say, where do I find it easy to share my faith? See, I find it really easy to share my faith when I go off the train and there are a whole lot of people walking up away from the station. So, it's easy. Let me do that. And I share my faith with people as we walk to and from the station. I share my faith with people at work because it works. Find out what works for you. Maybe it's just going to take 20 minutes of your lunch break. Walk around the town. Share your faith with a few people. Maybe it's you're on your way, I've done this as well, you're on your way back home from work, get off one stop early, share your faith with a few people. Find out what works for you. Because to really love people, I think we really need to reach out to people who are not yet saved. Right, and to conclude, let's get back to the book of John, John chapter 21. So, three things I think you need to look at. Really your example, the way of life, the way you live your life, and our family group leaders are a great example. Discipling relationships, having great relationships, people involved in your life, and importantly, you getting involved in other people's lives, and then sharing your faith, having great compassion on people who are not yet saved, helping them come into the church, into a relationship with God. In back to chapter 21, and we'll conclude here. Verse 20, Peter turned and saw the disciple whom Jesus loved was following them. This was the one who had leaned back against Jesus at the supper and had said, Lord, who's going to betray you? This is John. When Peter saw him, he asked, Lord, what about him? Jesus answered, if I want him to remain alive until I return, what is that to you? You must follow me. You know, sometimes you can look at other people and say, well, my life's deep. It's deeper than his. Deeper than hers. I'm okay. Jesus says, hey, don't worry about other people. You know, sometimes, whether you can be, if you're married, sometimes it can be so easy to look at your spouse and think, oh, you know, she's done something to upset me, and I'm going to be in a mood, I'm going to be upset. It's sometimes an excuse to sin. Maybe if you're a teen, and you feel your mum or dad is being unreasonable, and you think, oh, I could be unrighteous now. You know, you can't look at other people to work out how deep and how deep your love needs to be, unless you're looking at someone's example and imitating their faith. You've really got to look at your own heart, your own life, and I think take to heart what Jesus says to Peter. You know, don't worry about other people. You must follow me. How deep is your love? I hope it's a deep love, and if it's not, hopefully we've learned a few things that will help you to deepen your love today. Thanks very much for your time.
Thank you very much, Mark. That's what we need to hear, to love the Lord, to love our neighbor. And I know, I mean, me being part of the church, I feel the love of the church. The people who secretly babysit many hours without having to tell anybody. That's very encouraging. That's a way of loving. The KK helpers, the song leaders, the PA workers. There are so many ways in which people do show love in the church, and it's very encouraging. Let's do more of that. Amen. Now, I know it. This Wednesday, for those coming to Bible discussion, I think there's a central heating being installed at Cramer Hall, so there will be no Bible discussion this Wednesday. I even doubt if the singles may be able to meet, but we'll check if it's ready for you to meet. So don't cancel your plans. Just if it doesn't work, we'll let you know. And also, next week we are back here for our service. Amen. There will be a lot going on next week. Obviously, the send off for Phil. My D'Souza will be here to preach. Also, Marvin Lucas, on his way to Norwich, wants to come and say thank you to the South for the support they felt they received from us as well. So that's our Sunday service next week. Okay, let's pray, and then we'll be led in a final song. God in heaven, we thank you. You are a great God. We thank you to be able to come and hear a message that sobers our hearts, a message about love. How deep is our love? Is a question. Father, help us to put these things into practice, Father, to have a meaningful time with you every single day, but also to love each other, to serve our community, not to shy away from preaching the gospel, not to look at others and make excuses, but really have our personal conviction. We thank you for the message through our brother Mark. Father, help us to be encouraged all week, Father, doing your will. We thank you. We pray this time in Jesus' name. Amen. Please stand for the final song.
There's one.